Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service here in the church and also up in the hall. We also give a very special welcome to Mr. Adrian McAllister. Now, Adrian has been with us before. He's an elder from Dungannon Presbyterian Church. So, Adrian, you're very welcome back again. Adrian has, as you know, Reverend Fraser is off this week, so Adrian's standing in. So we're very grateful for that. There's a few announcements, and if you just bear with me, we will get them out of the way. It is with deep regret that I announce the passing of Mrs. Betty Cale. Mrs. Betty Cale was a very valued member in this congregation, involved in a lot of things, and always very willing to do things. So we regret that passing. And please would you remember her family at this time. We remember Anne and Richard and Norma. So please keep them in your prayers. And I also want to mention the Finnegan family who lost a son last week, Peter. And again, please will you remember the Finnegan family. It's a very, very difficult time for them, as it would be for any family, and there's other families as well. So please keep them in your prayers. There'll be no midweek this week, but there will be Sunday school next Sunday, the 9th of the month. So please pass that on to the children. There will be a Sunday school, will recommence. And it remains for me to wish everyone a very happy and healthy new year. Thank you. So I now hand over to Adrian.
Good morning. Might I begin also by wishing you all a very happy and blessed new year. And I want to thank David for his kind words of welcome. It is my very great pleasure to be back with you here again. I've looked forward to coming. And might I indeed add my welcome to you to church this morning. It's a great pleasure to have your company with us and with each other as we seek to worship God together. I'd like to take this opportunity also to thank the Reverend Fraser for his kind invitation to be here. And might I also extend a welcome to any who may be visiting. I'm not sure, but you know. So if there's anyone here who's visiting this morning, we trust that you will feel very much at home with us as we seek to worship Almighty God together. To lead us into worship, I would like to read a few verses from Isaiah 45, verse 15 following. This is what the Lord says. I am the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am He who remembers your sins no more. Let us bow for a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you when it tells us that you are our God, you are our Creator, you are our King, you are our Redeemer. We thank you for reminding us that you are constantly at work in our world and in our lives. We thank you that you constantly restore us, renew us, equip us for the future. And we ask that you would draw near to us in this hour of worship. We ask that you would speak to us and that we would hear your voice and know your presence amongst us. We pray at this time of worship would be a time when we would be built up in the things of yourself, that we would leave this place different from what we came in, more able to live out in the week ahead that which we believe in our hearts. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Our opening praise this morning is from the sheet that I have, and I hope you have if you need it, but it'll be on the screens. A great hymn of praise, All My Hope on God is Founded. Let us sing this to God's glory. My apologies again for that boo-boo. teachers also make mistakes quite often. So, but tremendous. I noticed the words in that there. Really appreciated it. Yep, thank you. Verse 4 there, it talks about every people, nation, tribe on this terrestrial ball. And I was quite struck by that. I like that, you know, phrasing there of our planet. I'm very much into all planet issues, and I'd never come across a chorus or a hymn where it's our planet is called this terrestrial ball. So I thought that was good. But let us come before our God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we change, but you don't. The years change us, but you change the years. and conform them to your will, and you will indeed culminate them in your glorious return fast approaching. And on this first Sunday of the new year, we take this opportunity to look back over the past year and to ponder the road that we have travelled. We thank you for all the loving kindness and tender mercies that you have bestowed upon us in this past year. We know that when the road was dark, you lightened it. We know that when the load was heavy, you lifted it. We know that when fear pressed down upon us, you dispelled it and carried us through the darkness into the sunshine of your peace and hope. We know that due to our fallenness, we have failed you many times, and yet we also know that you never failed us, not once, nor will you, nor can you. And sitting here this morning, we know that we can look forward to the year ahead with hope and peace and contentment. We can trust you to take care of us, to protect us, to direct us, and to lead us into increasing peace and joy and love. And we know that you are our presence and our stay and our strength. And so we ask that you will indeed go before us in all that this new year holds for us. Enable us to serve you faithfully and well. Enable us to hold high the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ through the spoken and unspoken witness of our lives. And so bring us to the end of 2022 in the awareness that we have shared your love with all whom we have come into contact with throughout this incoming year. We sum up all our prayers in the prayer which you taught us to say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 8. This is God's holy word. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And this is a key verse, I'm coming back to it later. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. May God bless us this reading from his holy word. Boys and girls, I wonder, did any of you play Scrabble over the holidays? I didn't over the holidays, but I played it just before the holidays, and it made me think about this little talk that I want to share with you this morning, or it helped make me think about it. I'm not good at Scrabble. I always seem to get beaten, but that's just my problems and things I have to deal with. But I have got some, I'm thinking of a short word, and I want you, it's sort of a puzzle, I want you to try and guess what it is, all right? So It's a two-letter word. I'm going to show you one of the letters. I'm going to show you the first letter, and I wonder, can you tell me what the word is? So the letter that I'm going to show you is U. Any idea what this, what the word is, the two-letter word is? Yep. I just didn't hear it, but I don't think so. You want to go again? Anyone else? Go again. Funny, it was mentioned in the other church, but no, go again. Well done. I'm thinking of the word up, right? So, two letters, very short word, but it's not actually the word up that I want to talk to you about. I want to combine the word up with other words. I'm thinking of two-word phrases ending with the word up. And I'm first of all thinking of get up. So I'm now going to look at a few wee phrases ending with up. And the first one, young people, boys and girls, is get up. Now I wonder who says that to you, or has that ever been said to you? It might also be mentioned to you in the context of wake up. Whenever I see get up, I think about getting up out of bed and or waking up. So I wonder, is that said to you? And as a New Year's resolution, could you simply get up right enough? And maybe even don't have it to be said to you at all. Just, you know, when you have to get up, get up. But that's the first one. That's the first challenge for you. Get up. Then another little two-word phrase ending with up is leave up. I wonder, is that said to you? And whenever I see that, I'm thinking of leaving up clothes, tidying up. There's another one, tidy up your bedroom. But I have a friend, he had a car accident, and he's now an at-home dad, so he does the chores around the house, and he does the washing up. And he complains to me because he tells me, I wash the clothes, I dry the clothes, I iron the clothes, I fold the clothes, I put the clothes in the bedroom, and I ask them to leave them up. And yet, a few days later, I can come in, and I can find those clothes on the floor. So, quite annoys him, I have to say. And that shouldn't be the case, boys and girls. You know, we should know to leave up. Simply put those clothes away, or whatever it is, toys or whatever it is, put them away wherever they're supposed to be. So we're supposed to leave up. And let's do that. Let's make a job easier for our parents and leave up our stuff. And then here's another one, own up. And oh, whenever I see that phrase, I think about owning up when we are challenged about something. Perhaps we have done something wrong, said something wrong, and we're now being asked to be honest. We're being asked to be truthful. We're asked to own up. Right? And so that's an important thing to do. Difficult thing to do. We don't like to have to own up, but we need to own up. So it's very important when the situation arises to own up and be honest. It applies to us all, actually, but this morning, boys and girls, that's for you. And then here's another one, maybe it ties in. These are sort of starting to tie together a little bit. Make up. We fall out. Sometimes you fall out, perhaps with a brother or sister, perhaps with a friend. It's very important not to stay that way. It's important to make up. Whenever I see make up, right enough, whenever I see it, I'm thinking of my daughter, who's 22, and make up means something different to her. But I hadn't thought of that at the time. But what I'm thinking about is making up, restoring friendship, becoming friends again. Very important to do. Sometimes not easy. Sometimes somebody has to say sorry or say and forgive. Maybe you have to forgive. Maybe someone has to say sorry. Maybe the other way around. And that's not easy. But that's what we're called to do. That's what being a Christian is. Forgiving, saying sorry, and making up. And that's an important challenge. So be sure to rise to that challenge, young people. And here's another one. Grow up. I wonder, has that ever been said to you? Grow up. And in a sense, we all need to grow up. And we're all growing up all the time. It never ends. But young people at your stage, at your age, you're growing up far, far faster than any of us older folks. You have all your growing up to do, or a lot, the vast majority of it, when you're young. You grow from, you know, a child to an adult. So you are growing up. And it's very important to mature and leave childish things behind and leave babyish things behind and to simply grow up and to mature and become the person that you're meant to be. Grow up. And then there's another one here. Oh dear. Shut up. Well, I hope that I haven't heard that in a long, long time, thankfully. But I have heard it in the past. And obviously we shouldn't say that. Clearly, shut up is not something we should say. But nevertheless, there is a time to be quiet. There is a time to simply shut up, isn't there? And we know there's a time whenever we need to stop talking and start listening. And that's very important to do that. Perhaps we're in an argument. Perhaps we feel some way or other accused, and we think we need to fight our corner. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not true. And so we need some time to simply be quiet. We need to stop talking and start listening. And that's a hard thing to do. Again, it's a hard thing to do, but we need to learn to do that. We need at times to simply stop talking and shut up. And then here's another one. Oh, we need to build up. Whenever I think of the term build up in relation to young people, I think, yes, you're at that stage of your lives where you are doing the most of your building. You know, young people, your lives are building and being built upon far more rapidly than when we're older. I teach, so you're building up in your education, and teachers are there. That's their job, to try and build your education. I'm very conscious of this, but not only education, also all kinds of other skills that perhaps you learn when you're teenagers, older teenagers, perhaps in part-time jobs. But even as children, you're all the time building yourselves up. And it's very important to build yourselves up. You need to learn everything you can. You need to build all the skills you can. And focus on your best skills, but nevertheless drag up those things you're not as good at as well. Keep building yourselves up for the future. Very important. And you have a new year now in which you're starting. So start with the intention of building yourselves up in every way you can. Then finally, rise up. And I think this was the phrase that actually got me thinking about this whole idea of up. Rise up. And in actual fact, you know, when you think of rise up, it's this verse actually that got me thinking about it from Isaiah verse 31. And it says, "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles." And that's a very important, that's a tremendous verse again, young people. And whenever it says, rise up with wings like eagles, obviously human beings can't fly. We don't have wings. We can't fly. We're not intended to. We never will. So what does it mean when the scripture says they shall rise up with wings like eagles? Well, I've highlighted the little word like. It's like eagles. We're not going to be flying, but it's as if we could. Now, what does that mean? What are the circumstances where you feel like you can rise up with wings like eagles? Well, I'm thinking situations where God takes over and, for example, protects you, guides you. You rise up with wings like eagles whenever you have God's protection on your life, whenever you have God guiding you and leading you and taking care of you and going before you. God does this. And it says that they who wait on the Lord, I only learned this current week, actually. Waiting is not hanging around, killing time like we think about waiting. Waiting is actually actively trusting. What that word could be changed there to trusting. They who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up like with wings like eagles. And so, young people, when we trust in the Lord, we have the confidence, the assurance that the Lord's looking after us, and we can, in a sense, metaphorically, rise up like on wings like eagles. And that's a tremendous blessing and tremendous confidence and tremendous joy to have, knowing that in our lives. And so I want you to remember, as followers of the Lord, we have the potential to rise up on wings like eagles because our Lord's looking after us. Thank you very much indeed, young people, for being here and listening to me this morning. We now sing again, and I'm almost nervous looking at this sheet here. It's number two. It's a beautiful, appropriate hymn again. It says here, the first line, "I am trusting you, Lord Jesus." Did you get that right? Let us come again before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in our intercessory prayers, we are pleased that we have this opportunity to bring our needs before you in prayer. And as we come before you at this time of new beginnings, we are reminded of those who feel the future holds no promise for them. We remember those who struggle with burdens so heavy, they feel that they are unable to carry them any longer. We remember those whose problems seem so great and complicated that they are unable to see how there could ever be a solution. We pray for those facing pressures of home, perhaps a relationship strained between a husband and a wife, perhaps a relationship strained between a parent and a child, perhaps a relationship strained between a brother and a sister, perhaps love, commitment, and patience stretched to breaking point. Father, we ask that you would reach out in love and grant all such a new beginning. Heal the wounds of the past. Let forgiveness rule so that bitterness is swept away. Cause the spirit of reconciliation to win out the day, we pray. We pray for those facing pressures of work, those overwhelmed by responsibilities, those caught up in ugly office politics, those troubled by job insecurity, those simply bored and unhappy in what they do. Father, we ask that you would reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of money, those struggling to make ends meet, those crippled by debt, those frustrated by poor pay, those who are uncertain whether or not or when the next paycheck will arrive. Father, we ask that you would reach out in love and grant all such a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of health, perhaps uneasily waiting on a diagnosis, those living with the knowledge of terminal illness, those wrestling with infirmity as the years go by, those crushed by depression. Father, reach out in love, we pray, and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of faith, those who are wrecked by doubts, those who are troubled by questions, those who feel themselves cut off from your love, those who are enduring the dark night of the soul. Father, we pray that you would reach out in love and grant all such a new beginning. Gracious God, may your love, compassion, strength, and support reach out to all who are hurting at this time. We ask that you will grant them a sense of hope, that you will forge in their soul a new conviction that, however bleak it may seem right now, you hold their future in your hands, both now and forevermore, and that your love moves mountains just as easily as we move our fingers. Father, hear these our prayers as we offer them in and through the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On Friday night, as the clock struck midnight, we said goodbye to the year 2021 and welcomed in the new year of 2022. It seems that every year we get a little bit excited about having a new start, a new beginning, a new opportunity, and many of us often resolve to make positive changes in our lives. Very often we call these changes New Year resolutions. Some people resolve to fight the battle of the bulge, to lose weight, to eat less, to exercise more, all good things. Others resolve to spend less money and save more, good thing to do. Many resolve to quit smoking or quit drinking, good thing to do. So here we are at the first Sunday of 2022, and I wonder how well we will do this year at keeping our resolutions. I wonder, have any of us already given up? For I read that 50% of people give up in the first week. But this morning I want to deal with what I'm calling start of year stuff. The Bible is very clear that we should be making the most of our lives, living our lives in the right way. Biblical phrases like redeem the time, or number your days, or live with sober judgment come to mind. Elsewhere in the Bible tells us that our lives are like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And for this reason, we are to be very careful how we live. But on a daily basis, I wonder how well we do. It is all too easy to lose sight of the big picture as the days, weeks, months go on, as we try to cope with the daily routine, the mundane, and for some, the grind of everyday life. Our problem is exacerbated by the fact that most of us are usually very busy people. We always seem to be in a hurry. We walk fast, eat fast, hardly take time for conversation. And so at the start of a new year, it's a good time to make assessments, to take stock, and to make adjustments if necessary. In order to do so, our first line of action must be to assess our thinking. For if we don't think right, we won't do right. We must think in the right direction in order to do in the right direction. The Bible teaches this in Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man or a woman thinketh, so he is. But do we realize that even thinking in the right direction is not enough? The Bible tells us that in order to live our best life, we must also have the spiritual side of our lives moving in the right direction. We do this by following God's directions. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for this present life and the life to come. Attending to spiritual matters will do more for us than any exercise program or diet. They're good too, of course. Godliness can help us in this life and give us the promise of life to come. We know that the healthiest people in the world can't go to heaven without Christ. We know that the richest people in the world can't go to heaven without Christ. We know that the happiest people in the world can't go to heaven without Christ. We know that the most acclaimed people that we see on our television screens and on the internet and social media cannot go to heaven without our Lord. And what this means is that we should attend to the spiritual side of our lives first, because the things of faith are the most important, even more important than health. For we all know that in the end, health will fail us as our body eventually weakens and dies. Just mention this because it's relevant. Dungannon Presbyterian Church, to which I belong, as David has said, has a prayer meeting every Saturday morning. And yesterday, just one of the people reminded us in their prayers of that faith is more, they said, faith is more precious than health, and faith is more precious than wealth. It almost rhymes. And so, on this first Sunday of the new year, I want to suggest some spiritual start of year stuff that I hope will benefit us in the year ahead. The three headings are clean up, shape up, and step up. Again, I'm continuing this to be theme. So first of all, clean up. Romans 13 verse 12 tells us the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness. What is wrong with the world? A newspaper editor once asked in his paper, wrote it into his paper and went out to the public. And it seems that the British writer G.K. Chesterton wrote in reply, "What's wrong with the world? I am. I am what is wrong with the world." And what Chesterton meant was that each one of us is partially responsible for the breakdown in our society. And that is because none of us live the lives that we should. None of us live the standards, the values, the ethics, the morals, the lives that we should. What is wrong with the world? Even we as Christians who strive to live godly lives have to admit with Chesterton that it is I who am wrong with the world. The deeds of darkness are a part of me too. We're all infected with the sinful virus or gene. But praise be to our God. When we become a child of God, our sins are forgiven. The new life takes root and we begin to grow. And in time, the old life does change into the new life in Christ. What a wonderful, beautiful transformation. Perhaps the greatest in all the world. Even the great apostle Paul in our scriptures knew he had to fight against the sin in his life. Romans 5:17. I'm amazed at these words from the Apostle Paul. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, and what I hate, this is the very thing I do. Do we need to be cleaned up after we are saved? Of course we do. The fallen nature is a part of us. We will wrestle with it until the day we die. Only then will releasement come. Only then does the new life burst forth into its full bloom, full blossom, and full wonder. In the meantime, sin is a part of our existence on this earth, in this life. In the meantime, we need a continual cleansing, an ongoing daily baptism of God's gracious forgiveness and grace, the power to live the new life. And we receive this baptism through confession. It's one way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's our daily challenge, to fight against sin with the help of the Lord. It's an ongoing battle. Start of year stuff. Clean up. Do whatever it takes to get clean. Repent. Confess our sins to the Lord. Battle against temptation. Clean up. The second start of year stuff that I want to share with you is to shape up. If we were to apply shaping up to our bodies, this would generally mean some kind of exercise program and perhaps diet. But what does it mean to shape up in this spiritual sense? What does it look like when we apply shaping up to our Christian faith or our growth in Christ? How do we measure our Christian improvement? Do we measure it by how well we attend church on Sunday mornings or watch online or on DVD in this pandemic age? Do we measure our Christian improvement by how much we read our Bibles or read Bible devotional notes? Do we measure our Christian growth by how much we pray every day, even for 1 minute, even just a single sentence a day would be growth for some of us? Or is it by attending the prayer meeting or the Bible study group? Do we grow when we help in Sunday school or in youth group or in PW or committee or some other work in the church, even stacking chairs, making sandwiches, making tea or something else? So I ask you, what does spiritual shaping up look like for you? Well, as a minimum, I think it should mean attending church every Sunday, ideally face-to-face, but certainly online or via DVD if that is necessary due to health or COVID reasons. You see, we cannot get away from the scripture which tells us not to give up meeting together. You know this well, as some are in the habit of doing. This scripture, of course, I think is more relevant today in our pandemic age than it has been for decades. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. The Apostle Paul tells us that in the New Testament church, so let's go right back 2,000 years, the early Christians gathered every first day of the week to remember the Lord. It was their regular common practice, and it should also be ours. Lord's Day fellowship and worship are something we should never miss out on. People who do are the losers. We will never shape up spiritually when we are sporadic in our Sunday church attendance. Now, there might be reasons that we can't attend church. That's okay, but we mustn't just give up and get careless and give up. My third start of year suggestion is to step up. This arises from that verse 16 in our passage, which I drew your attention to, where it says, let us make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. If we want a New Year's resolution in regard to the advancement of the gospel and the advancement of our own lives for 2022, then this surely is it. Make the most of every opportunity. You remember how Jesus once went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He sat down to teach them, and as he taught, Mary sat at his feet, soaking up every word, while Martha was out in the kitchen preparing dinner. The Bible tells us that Martha got very upset because Mary wasn't also in the kitchen helping her. So she came to Jesus and complained, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus said, "Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that which is better, and it will not be taken from her." The question arises, was Martha committing a sin by preparing a meal in the kitchen? Of course not. But here's the problem. Martha was so preoccupied with what she was doing in the kitchen that she didn't realize that God and Jesus was in her living room. Martha made the mistake that you and I are likely to make every day. We get so caught up in the things of the here and now that we fail to deal with the eternal, the things that will last forever. In our world, in our modern world, people are overloaded with commitments. We're overloaded with possessions, bigger houses, bigger cars, holiday homes, homes bulging with possessions, wheelie bins not able to contain the waste. We're overloaded in the area of work. We get up early, we go to bed late, we fight traffic, we work late, we deal with hassle. We're overloaded with self-indulgence, the desire for pleasure, the desire for fun, the desire for entertainment. Think of how important your favorite TV program or sports game is to you. Compare your attitude to this in relation to attending church or doing some ministry work for God. Many of us do not find time to do the things that are really important, like praying for each other, praying for our families, praying for our church. But our scripture tells us to make the most of every opportunity. So here is a New Year's resolution that we should all make and remake. Make the most of every opportunity in life generally and in your spiritual life as well, most importantly. To do this, we need to keep God at the center of our lives, because that will mean that we will maintain focus, remain tuned to His guidance, and stay connected to His power to help us act. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? The verse told us, because the days are evil. And we need to be about, Scripture tells us, our Father's business in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity. In ending, we recognize that 2021 was a momentous year in the history of our planet. Two huge problems rose up to face humankind, and those are, still are, the pandemic and the climate crisis. At this moment, no one is really sure how they will end up. It looks like, perhaps due to vaccines, that we can have some optimism in relation to beating COVID. But on the issue of our climate crisis, my feeling is that our problems are only beginning. Our dilemma right now is that so much needs to be done in such a short space of time. And the dangers of not acting right now, decisively and urgently, are catastrophic and will likely affect every human being on the planet. And so if our world ever needed prayer for its future, it is now. So what can we do? Well, the most important thing that we can do is to pray, for prayer is the springboard to all other action and the means by which we invoke our God, the God of the universe, the great I Am, the all-powerful God, to help us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your church. We're thankful for Sunday services. We're thankful that we have an opportunity to gather like this and to contemplate your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its wisdom. We thank you for its challenge, even though that's difficult at times. But we know, Father, that you have only our best in mind. And so we come before you humbly and respectfully and with thankfulness. And so at the start of this new year, this first Sunday, we pray to you, Father, that indeed you will be gracious to each one of us. We ask, Father, that you will help each one of us gathered here listening this morning, and our family, and our friends, and all who we know, and that we will have your blessing upon us as we seek to live out our lives for you in the year ahead. We worship you, we honor you, and we bow before you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 3 on my sheet here, All My Hope, and it's a very appropriate starting line, that all my hope on God is founded. Let us sing this to God's glory. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all who we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.